I know many singles who have gone online. They have gone to large churches with singles groups. They've asked to be set up. They have prayed boldly. They have done everything humanly possible, and they're still single. And so for some reason, we have to recognize that God does not owe us marriage. We are not owed marriage. We're not promised marriage. I do not know how my story will end. All I can do is trust God with my next day.
Well, that's a good statement from Lisa Anderson, and she's our guest on today's Focus on the Family, talking about what to do when you've kind of struggled to meet and marry, but you're still single. And I think you'll be encouraged by her perspectives on today's program with your host, Focus President and author Jim Daly.
John, so often I'm asked, what's the mission, the vision of Focus on the Family? It's straightforward. We're here to help families thrive in Christ. We do that in a variety of ways, and one of the ways we do it is to prepare singles for marriage and to help them live intentionally toward that goal. The scripture's pretty clear. Not everyone is suited for that, and we want to talk about that today. It's hard to feel joy when you're disappointed. Lisa Anderson, our guest, expressed that in that clip a moment ago. You can feel disappointed with God, especially around that area of marriage. And if that's you, we have an entire portion of this ministry dedicated to you called Boundless. There are articles, weekly podcasts, and forums to help you get connected to other singles. That's certainly one of the goals, but to also cope with what you're dealing with as a single, especially for those who want to get married. And if you believe in what we're doing here to reach singles and to help them with family formation, we need to hear from you. It would be great if you could help us financially. Boundless reaches over 500,000 people. That is terrific, and we need your help to do that. So I hope you'll consider, especially during the summer, stepping into that gap and supporting Focus on the Family and those singles who are desperately trying to get ready to develop a family of their own.
We really do need your help as we carry on this important outreach of Boundless. And you can donate right now at focusonthefamily.com/radio or call us. The number is 800-A-FAMILY, 800-232-6459. And actually, we have a matching gift campaign going on right now, Jim. Some generous friends have stepped up and offered to match dollar for dollar donations made today. Which is a wonderful opportunity.
It is, up to $500,000, and we are grateful for those friends, and I hope you'll take advantage. For every dollar you give, they will provide an additional dollar for ministry.
Well, please, get in touch today and help us out. Now, Lisa's been sitting here, and she is ready to go.
Lisa, it's great to have you back.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Let's start the conversation this time. Let me remind people, if you missed it last time, I thought there was a lot of great energy, and we covered a lot of terrific ground. So listen to it on the download or your smartphone or iPhone. We can do all that stuff. So yes. We're getting pretty good, aren't we? But I would really encourage you to go there and listen to last time. And now let's pick it up this time. For singles, let's say in the 30-plus range, what is the heartache that they feel?
Yeah, I think it's deep. It is largely centered around identity at this point, because for the most part, those who thought they had a scripted, they thought they had something written out, they thought they had a plan, and it hasn't panned out, they're left holding the bag, and they're like, what do I do now? So for women, it's, why am I still single? What in the world is wrong with me? What did I do wrong? For men, it's, what do I need to do differently? Am I truly a man? Why can I not, you know, this idea of, I should be able to pursue, I should be able to, you know, and it just hasn't panned out. So I think there are a lot of questions. And I also want to say, heartache for that parent of the single young adult, the parents who are aching for their children, who are exhibiting the sadness and the longing. Parents want to step in and help, and that's a hard position to be in. So.
Well, and I'd say even fix. I mean, that would be a dad, I think. Let's go to the mailbag, if we can call it that, because I love the questions we had last time, and I wanted to cover some more of those because I feel like they're such great expressions of the heart. This one came from a young man named Nate, and he wrote, I attend a small country church in a small town with no singles. I've asked friends to play matchmaker. I've tried online dating for years, and I've gone to conferences in the hopes to meet someone, and I'm still single. Should I move in the hopes to meet someone? I mean, that sounds desperate. I mean, I'm going to leave my town. And that that may be a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. But you got to get to that point as a single that it's not happening in small town USA. I got to move to New York or LA or some other place. That seems drastic.
It is. It's a little bit drastic. But actually, my short answer to this is you may want to. I would advise him that, sure, if he's looking, if he's truly done all of this and he's in a situation where his job is mobile or it's maybe time to pick up and move somewhere, he may want to consider that. But deeper in this question is something I think he needs to examine. And that is, you know, he's done a lot of things. And I would like to pick his brain as to, okay, how did those really work for you? And how did you approach that? Because there seems to be a small attitude of entitlement here in the sense of...
The if then, if I do these things, then I get...
Kind of. And I'm kind of like, how, you know, especially a man who's been online dating for years... I'm kind of wondering if maybe his approach to online dating is not the best, because I talk about a quick get in and get out mentality with
online
dating.
What does that mean?
That is where you set parameters. You say, I'm going to do this for 3 months. I'm picking a geographical area. I'm bringing in a team who's going to hold me accountable, so I'm not sitting in my apartment chatting with women till 2 a.m. and having pen pals. I think that we have a very laissez-faire attitude towards online dating, where it's like, let me meet as many people as I can. And with men especially, where they have so many opportunities. There are so many women online. They become very consumeristic in their approach, and they need to stop that. It's not, let me wait until tomorrow because more women will be in my inbox and it's going to be, they're going to be more amazing people. You know, eventually you have to choose and you have to get into a relationship, move into real time and real space. So I would definitely counsel him to evaluate that. To bring someone in and to kind of help him, you know, we talked yesterday, I mentioned that article, Brother, You're Like a Six, and just some real, real assessment of your attitude towards where you are.
You know, who you are.
Yeah. Is he being, and I hate throwing this out for singles because I think we get it too much, but here it applies. Is he being too picky? Is he acting entitled in the way he's searching for a wife? Is he being too passive? Is he sitting online and just hoping for women to show up in his inbox, or assuming that he's going to sit in this country church and some, you know, supermodel who loves Jesus is going to walk in and sit in the pew next to him? So I think there has to be an approach. One other article I'd like to recommend from Boundless along these lines is...
it's boundless.org.
Boundless.org is called What If She's Not the Right One? And it addresses that idea of, how can I make sure I'm picking the right woman? How can I make sure I'm picking the one? And it kind of really addressed towards men as to looking for a wife, what goes into that.
Well, that's good advice. Let's move to another one from Jacob. And we haven't really talked about this. We've talked about singles who marry for the first time. What about the divorced person? And it's in this question. Let me ask it from Jacob. He says, I'm in my 40s and I've been divorced for over a decade. I sometimes wonder if God is punishing me by not bringing someone else into my life because of my choices I made when I was younger. That's a different thing that we haven't talked about. Speak to that situation.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing, and this is such a, I can feel the hurt in this question because, again, the big D on your chest of divorce is so hard for many single, again, people. And
when
they
that
feel...
D stands for a couple things. One is divorce. The other would be doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You now doubt yourself.
Right. And exactly what he said here, I was not surprised at all when he said, I wonder if God is punishing me. And the first thing I want to do is break down a theology lesson for him, and that is God is not vindictive. He doesn't need to punish you. I counsel my friends on this. I say, don't you remember in Scripture where it says the cup of God's wrath was poured out on Jesus Christ? That means that there is no more wrath left for you. He may shape you. He may discipline you. He may, you know, cultivate something in you that you need, and that's sometimes painful.
And consequences.
Yeah, and consequences. But he is not going after you saying, you messed up. And so if you're in Christ, you messed up and now you have to pay. It's just not there. Now, if God wants marriage, Jacob, to accomplish something in your life, he will get you married. He is going to bring the circumstances into your life that he wants to bring to shape you, to grow you. If that is his gift to you, that will happen. It doesn't matter. I mean, again, the record we have is now Christ. It doesn't matter where you have been. And he certainly brings beauty from ashes.
A profound statement of trust, though, what you just
absolutely.
Said. I don't want to just skip by that.
No, absolutely.
If God wants you to marry someone else, he'll bring that person. We got to be, you know, this kind of is interesting given the discussion we've had thus far. trusting God all the way. Mm-hmm. That can be hard to do.
He will use whatever he needs to use. And he will, and even, again, giving good gifts to his children, if he desires marriage for you and he knows that it's your heart's desire, trust him for that and know that it's a good thing. It's not, you know, he's not withholding something that's probably questionable or maybe would not be for your, you know, I mean, it's marriage is a good thing. And if it's in your plan, he's going to accomplish it.
I mean, let me add another aspect to this, too, about Jacob, because it's easy for the enemy to keep tapping on your heart that way mm-hmm. with that guilt, mm-hmm. saying, well, you had your chance mm-hmm. and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And you're not good enough to get married again. Now, you know, biblically, there may be good reason not to get married again. Mm-hmm. That means, you know, you don't have the grounds for a biblical divorce. That's a lot of theology
right.
that we don't have time to unpack here. You got to do that through your local church and your pastor and getting the counseling that you need. But I could see how the enemy of our soul, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, this is where he'll attack, mm-hmm. which is to put doubt into you.
And that doubt, I don't want Jacob to think, well, that was my good life pre the divorce, and now I'm just having to exist. I mean, again, I want Jacob to think, you know, Jacob, if you're listening, you know, what are you doing now? Are you growing? Are you loving others? Are you serving? Because God does not say, well, that was your one chance and then you messed up and now your life is just going to be terrible and you just have to deal with it. You know, I mean, how are you thriving where you are now and still hopeful for marriage, but also look at your circumstances as being valuable where you are now. Your life is valuable where you are. Your relationships are valuable. And so who are you pouring into with the experience you have, with the understanding you have of Christ and who he is? Move forward confidently in that.
Our guest is Lisa Anderson on today's Focus on the Family, and you can find out more about her and about the Boundless Ministry, the Boundless Pursuit event in just a few days. And resources like Gary Thomas's book, Sacred Search, which really is a great treatment of some of the things that we've been talking about to this point in the conversation. Help for you is at focusonthefamily.com/radio. And in fact, we'll send a copy of Gary Thomas's book to you as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Focus on the Family today. When you join our team and support us financially, it makes all the difference in the world for us as we move forward. And we'll encourage you to get in touch and request that book.
Lisa, we've talked about a lot of the environment that singles find themselves in. I want to refer to this question from Caitlin because I think it grabs the next level that we need to talk about. She wrote, is it really possible to be a happy single person if we never marry? Or is singleness supposed to be a thorn in our flesh that we have to fight with until we reach heaven? I'm finding this lifetime of loneliness hard to bear, and it's hard for me to accept that God's best for me is to be lonely. Mm-hmm. Wow, that is an incredibly honest summary of where mm-hmm. she's at and where so many other singles are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. And I think that loneliness is a huge theme for many singles because so many things in our society are crafted for married couples. And so it's easy to see what you do not have when you're walking through a church experience or through the holidays. I mean, my experience and many of my friends is, you know, sometimes that going home after church is a lonely time when you see the families loading up in the minivans and they're going to go out to lunch or they're going to go to the park or whatever. And you're kind of like, well, you know, will anyone go to, you know, McDonald's with me or whatever? Or the holidays, you know, not always the big ones. Singles can plan for the big holidays and they'll go home or whatever. But just those little holidays, you know, whether it's Easter dinner or whether it's something where it's, oh, you know, I have to find someone to spend time with.
Well, it's something we take for granted. Mm-hmm. We don't even think about that. I got to be honest. I wouldn't think about the singles in the church as we're walking out to celebrate Easter.
I know. Well,
that they may be going
about
to
us,
an apartment.
Specifically, you can start thinking
okay,
about
everybody's
Easter.
Over to my house. Come on.
I'm going to your place for Easter. That's so
Gene,
great.
Gene, let me call Gene really
okay.
quick.
call Gene. I'll bring a side.
Okay,
I'll bring
good.
A side. Or at least some soda and chips.
You all know? Right, let's do it.
No, that'll be great. But again, I also want to talk to Caitlin in the sense of, you know, singleness is a thorn in the flesh. God created the single state of life as well. You know, it's not, singleness is not a waiting room
You're
for marriage.
You're not born married.
Right. It's not a waiting room for marriage. It's not something that you're being punished with. Everyone walks through a season of singleness.
And so it's not the little kids' table?
No. Well, I mean, sadly, it can become that. So that's what we're trying to avoid. We don't want singles at the kids' table. We want them to be thriving. We want them enfolded into the church. We want them in leadership. There's a lot that singles have have to offer. And just because you're single doesn't mean you're not an adult. You know, I think that's kind of a bad perception that we have. But I want to encourage Caitlin with the idea of loneliness, that this is where I have learned, even in the last few years, the value of friendship. And when I say friendship, I do not mean people that I can hang out with and go to pizza with and go to the movies with. I'm talking about a few great, great friends that have poured into my life, that I am pouring into, vice versa. The girlfriends that I lean on, who are going to talk to me, who are going to cry with me, who are going to help me figure out things that I need to figure out, who are going to be there for me, who are going to be my everything from the practical, the airport ride girls, you know, because that's another thing, single women especially, you know, I hear at work, oh yeah, my wife's driving me to the airport. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. I don't have anyone to drive me to the airport, but those girlfriends and that sharing life and that sharing scripture and the person who's got your back and who's going to walk through with you, invest in friendships now. You can carry them over into marriage, even though things change a little bit. But the friendships are valuable relationships too, and I think we overlook them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lisa, we've talked a lot about the attitude of the heart and how to go about life as a single 20-something, 30-something, maybe 40-something. You're living in that place. Mm-hmm. And I want to turn in the moments that we have to talk about the issue of purity, mm-hmm. because you know, for Christians, that becomes an issue when you're single and you're now turning 30 and those hormones are there. It's not that it's unbridled. You've been hopefully bridling those things. But let's talk about good ways to make sure that we're honoring the Lord, even though we have these desires. What do we do?
Absolutely. And it always amazes me how, getting back to the church, how we're so intentional and persistent about providing a purity script to young teens. You know, we have pledges, we have purity rings, we have all this. But then once you get past 20, it's kind of like, well, we hope you learned something. So, you know, just take it on from there. But when really the 20-somethings and 30-somethings are the ones who really need to be continually encouraged,
right,
in this, because they're living it.
And you're on your own. You don't have
go wherever you want. Do absolutely. But I tell single young adults that, first of all, this isn't about purity in the sense of we're having sex, we're not having sex, we're doing something bad. This is about, it begins, you start with a pure heart and a pure mind. And it always amazes me. In fact, we just did a show on this at Boundless, in the Boundless show, where single young adults are saying, well, absolutely, I want to stay pure until I'm married. I know what God, you know, wants for me. I believe in his design for marriage and for sex. But yet they're watching The Bachelor. They're reading 50 Shades of Grey, which now is, you know, a multi-million or billion-dollar selling series. And they're justifying all these actions that are truly jeopardizing their mind and heart and understanding God's true design for sexuality. And so, in fact, Dr. Julie Slattery, who we all know, wrote a great article for us along these lines called Five Lies That Make Sexual Purity More Difficult. And she really unpacked a lot of this idea of, you know, don't say that you shouldn't be tempted. We're all tempted. I mean, so like, let's just put that on the table. And that is not going to end once you get married, okay? It's not like, great, now I have a wife, now I won't have any sexual temptation. No. I mean, understand that we're all sexual beings as well, even as singles. And so how do we reflect that in femininity and masculinity? What does that look like? And how do we have discipline through that? But then it comes into our dating practices. And what does it look like to establish good boundaries, to bring people into your life who are going to carry that script for you, who are going to cast a vision for you for marriage, so that you know, I tell folks, you are dating someone's future spouse. That may be your spouse someday, but you don't know that. And you need to make sure that when that relationship ends, if it ends, that you can sit next to that person in church and before God know that you carried that relationship honorably. And so to think ahead, I mean, we want to be treated like adults, so let's think like adults and let's be sober-minded and wise in the way that we apply scripture to that.
Lisa, I appreciate that openness and that honesty. I think one of the things that I was shocked when Gene and I were dating, and you know what, I'm sure we did many things poorly, but this is one area where we really managed things very well. And, you know, I just felt it was most honoring to the Lord first and to my future spouse, Gene, second, to bridle that. And we didn't have that kind of activity before we got married. I felt that commitment that day sealed the deal. Mm-hmm. And so we saved ourselves in that way. But a lot of our Christian friends at the time, and again, we got married at 25, I was shocked at how many people were actively engaged physically, even though they were not married. They planned to be married. Mm-hmm. And so therefore they thought, you know, we're going to get married anyway. That's not just the attitude of the world, but this was within our Christian community. Mm-hmm. Talk about the danger of that, because there's always the chance that one of you is going to say, I decided no.
Right.
And to give yourself over before you're married is not a good idea.
Right. And I think that part of this, Jim, is sourced out of the fact that we as Christian young adults are believing a lot of lies. One of them is born out of our culture right now, which is it is impossible to remain sexually pure before marriage. And so Christians are kind of throwing up their hands and saying, well, it's not really possible, especially in our culture. It was maybe possible in the 1800s or maybe in the 1950s, but it's not possible now. And so I'm just going to have to make do. And God's going to just wrap everything up and fix it up. I'll hopefully get married. You know, God's going to somehow make this all come out in the wash and it'll be okay. But the fact is there are huge consequences looking back. You know, no one ever sits in a spot of being married and says, you know, I wish I would have been more sexually permissive when I was single. No one's ever going to say that. Most people will say, I wish I would have reined it in. I wish I would have set more boundaries. I wish I would have thought of godly purity more. And it comes back to initial decisions. It's not sitting in the dark under a blanket watching a movie with your boyfriend or girlfriend. It's deciding to date someone and saying, we will only date in public if that's what you need to do. It is saying, we will not kiss until we're married or we're engaged or whatever. Whatever that couple needs to decide is right for them needs to happen. And then before godly mentors, you know, preferably a couple, a godly married couple, they make that commitment and that couple holds them accountable. And they say, you know, yeah, we're going to go on that date with you. You know, you're not going to sit alone in your apartment, you know, just talking or whatever you claim you're going to be doing. We're going to hold you to that and make that something that's viable and actually, you know, possible.
Lisa, in the final moments here, let's talk about church and how church can be better engage with the single community and to reach them and to deploy them for things to get accomplished, you know, for the Lord. How does a church do a better job in engaging the single community within their fellowship?
Sure. I would say the first thing is to find out who these people are. I mean, I think first awareness,
well, seeing. You don't ask from the pulpit, everybody who's single, stand up.
Oh, God. You know, some pastors may want to.
Okay? Are you serious?
No, I'm just teasing. But no, I mean, honestly, look out for the singles. They're going to come in. I mean, it's awkward to show up, especially at a new church, and be single. You sit in the back. You don't really have anyone to sit with. You don't really have a Sunday school class to go to unless there's a singles group. You kind of maybe try one out. So look around, and those people that are sitting alone or the people that you know look like they're kind of young adults. Maybe they're transitional. Maybe they're in town because they're in college right now. Find those people. And I know so many great married couples, especially the empty nesters. This is where I go after the empty nesters. You know, you may have kids of your own. They may be now married. You still have a legacy opportunity with the single young adults in your church because they are away from home. They don't have their parents available to them. Or maybe they don't even have parents. Maybe their dad's absent or he is not fulfilling his role. Step in there, have them over for lunch after church, get to know them. They need to see good marriages at work. They need to be enfolded into a family so they're not just off on their own with other single people, kind of blind leading the blind, you know. The other thing is bring singles into opportunities within the church, service, leadership, mentoring relationships. You know, I tell single young adults, if you are 24, you better be mentoring a high school student. You better look down and see where behind you someone is. Mm-hmm. Get that person above you. Get that person below you. Make sure that singles are plugging in, that they know they're valuable. And then finally, honor marriage within the church and honor it in front of singles and to singles. Be in the business of helping make good matches. Not in a weird way. Don't get all like my mom. Mom, bless your heart. I love you. But do not be this like, well, I saw this guy and he's male and you're female, so I think you guys should get married. But look around. People that you know have similar callings or that might be a good fit or whose characters or personalities might mesh. Have people over. Honor marriage. Talk about it. Share with the singles why marriage is good for them. And for the men, especially, maybe a good dose of challenge is in order. Go after this. I mean, I love, I've interviewed Mark Dever on The Boundless Show, a pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist out in Washington, D.C. Their church is no bones about going after the single men. You cannot probably attend that church for a month without a godly man coming up to you as a single man and being like, so tell me what you're about. What, you know, what's your story? Why are you single? Let's go into this men's mentoring group and see. They're very passionate about marriage and God's plan for it, for those who are called to it.
Well, and again, what a great example of what a church can do positively to impact marriage and family for Christ. Lisa, this has been so good. It just moves fast. And you got your hand right on the pulse of what's going on. Boundless.org, everything that you're doing. Thank you so much. Let's remember to mention, as we did last time, you've got a big Boundless event coming up August 7 through 9. Can people still get there?
They still can. In fact, tomorrow is the last day to register. So get on your computers right now, boundless.org/pursuit, August 7th through 9th, right here at Focus on the Family, beautiful Colorado Springs. If you're a parent of a young adult, this is an excellent opportunity to give a graduation gift, give a birthday. You know, all these parents who are like, what do I give my 20-something? I don't know. I don't want to buy them another iPad. Get them to this conference and
what
really
age,
invest in them.
What age are you looking for?
18 to 39 and single. So anyone within that demographic, please, please come. It's going to be a blast.
You've got a lot of people coming already. So
41 states and 5 countries.
That's good. All right. Well, I hope folks hear that and come. And Lisa, again, it's great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And of course, we do hope that you'll take Lisa's admonition and encouragement to heart and that you'll sign up today for Pursuit, as tomorrow is the last day to register. And then we'll look forward to seeing you here in Colorado Springs in just a couple of weeks. Now, Lisa, along the way here, these past couple of days has really answered a lot of your questions, and you probably know that here at Focus on the Family, we really do enjoy hearing from our listeners, and we really believe God has equipped us to come alongside you and to help you in the situations of life that may be just overwhelming or confusing, whether you're a single or a newlywed or a parent or perhaps an empty nester. So please, if there's some help we can give you, let us know. And if you'd like to take the next step in living life intentionally as a single, then let me encourage you to get a copy of Gary Thomas's book, The Sacred Search. He's been here before to talk about that book, and it really does tie right into what Lisa has been sharing today. It'll help you understand the why of marriage and is really a practical resource, regardless of where you're at as a single, even if you're engaged, and has some really thought-provoking study questions at the end of each chapter that you can work through solo or in a small group setting. Find out more about this book at focusonthefamily.com/radio. And then Jim mentioned earlier that it's a pretty important time for us to hear from you financially. These summer months can be a little bit lean for a listener-supported ministry like ours, and as we reach out and help strengthen the foundation of new marriages, and as we help couples to really thrive in their relationship, we need your prayer and financial support to do that. So please, help us with a gift today of any amount, and we'll send a copy of The Sacred Search by Gary Thomas to you. It's our way of saying thank you and hopefully equipping you or someone in your sphere to walk that journey with a little bit more intentionality. You can contribute at focusonthefamily.com/radio or by calling 800, the letter A, and the word family, 800-232-6459. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family, and on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time when we'll once again turn our hearts toward home.